Well, it's a tricky one, eh? I think it depends on the doctor and the patient's relationship with the doctor. Sometimes it's very useful to have a pre-written letter saying that if you say this, this is what's likely to happen. If you say this, this is what's likely to happen. But of course, you're the ultimate judge of that. Something like that. But those things are very helpful because, you know, doctors are busy and they're just kind of writing away. And they're not lawyers. They're not legal advocates. So they, yeah.
We have a couple of those letters on the table over there. So yeah. Take a look at and see what you think. Yes.
Lori had mentioned that the mental health teams were getting together to train, I guess, their therapists and stuff on filling it. But it made me think that is there any, because the mental health teams and the community health clinic see so many of these people, is there any movement to put possibly to get all those doctors and medical people together, health professionals together, to say, this is, you know, do some press conferences and say this is horrible and blah, blah.
Yeah, there is.
So something might come out.
Yes. Yeah.
I just wanted to say that what the mental health teams are doing.
You stand up.
Making sure that the clients who have these forms, which is running at about half of the people I happen to know in the past about this, have access to their therapist and psychiatrist within the team to do the assessments and things. And Ravina Surrett, who is the actually over adult manager, has taken this on as a project. Many of you were on that phone call about 2 weeks ago. And that community is building what it can and can't do for folks. One of the discussions being, are we stuck just doing our own people, just doing the people who attend the team? Or what about the people, access GPs or other people who may not have a history with mental health service? How comfortable are we completing an assessment on them? And there's a difference of opinion at various levels about that. But in fact, for the folks who do attend teams reunions, yes, the service is absolutely there. And
that's great. Yeah.
Okay. Robin? Yeah, Robin and then Steve.
It's not from McGregor. I mean, there's 100 questions I'd love to ask you. There's one in particular. We're already beginning to hear from people. Not only here in Vancouver, but all over the province. They approached their doctors with their form, and the doctor said, no, I'm not going to fill out this form. I'm only going to do the physician section. I'm not going to do the assessor section. We realize that there's a little education we have to do here, but if someone came into your medical center and said, look, my own doctor won't fill out the form, will a doctor here do it? I mean, I guess, is there any kind of backup in place for people whose doctors are not helping them? Can you, and this kind of brainstorm?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, at our clinic where I work, we probably need to look at that. The problem is you're not, you know, there is a section, how long have you known this patient? And if it's under a month, it doesn't have a lot of weight. So I don't know how helpful it will be to kind of rush in and fill out a form where you really haven't observed someone over time. So I think, you know, ways of approaching this might be, for instance, to write a letter to the College of Physicians and Surgeons and get them to lean on those physicians who are refusing to do this and bring out all the implications of what, of the harm that such a refusal is potentially making. Writing to BCMA, I think, is also a reasonable thing to do. But, you know, this is really a college issue now. It's an issue of ethics and what is the duty of a physician. And I think the college would rule that, you know, in the absence of no one else being able to fill out those forms, the physician has to do it.
Stephen?
Yeah, Dr. Greger, I was curious when you were acting as the assessor, if you phoned the number in the application, the 1-800 number, to get any direction. Particularly, I'm wondering when I'm advising clients with regard to the assessor, the thing that's causing me concern is the blank spaces versus explain and describe. They're after you've checked off in the appropriate column. And that's where doctors are going to be wanting to say, well, I don't have a lot of time to explain and describe what they want to be seeing. I'm wondering.
Well, that's where your rough draft prompts may be very useful. I think that it's, you know, just intuitively, it's probably better to say more and elaborate on the tics. So I've been doing that. But again, you know, I think to explain to lots of docs that this might be a good thing to do, and these are the words that need to be used, would probably be very useful. And having a kind of rough draft form with the articulation of what that disability means. Yes. Yeah, I know. But I mean, apart from sort of bringing in some written education with a lot of detail, you know, it's tough. I don't know. I mean, we can certainly encourage our colleagues, but, you know, our colleagues are not the problem. It's the ones that aren't kind of feeling the same way we're feeling.
I'm not sure that the assessor part, I was looking, does the assessor part require the assessor to say how loudly it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, yeah. Okay.
Would any of the material that we've been putting together be of any use to spread further afield? I mean, is there a doctor's kind of like a newsletter or something that could go out to?
I definitely think the Department of Family Practice at UBC should be approached. I think the all the family practice departments in the hospital should be approached. Spectrum Health Clinic that does all the, you know, a lot of the HIV patients. Oak Tree Clinic. Any of the clinics that deal with individuals have chronic illnesses.
Diane and then Lisa.
No,
it's okay.
So,
Lisa?
I have quite tomorrow to speak with the doctors at Verde Clinic. I've been invited to speak
there and
go over the application process and the forms with them. Most of their patients are hepatitis patients who will be directly affected. Although they are extremely ill, they can't walk to the store and they can perhaps cook their own meals. So that's a big concern that they have. One of the things that we did in the past at DIRA was we wrote a quite a extensive supplementary Part A to go with for the application. And a draft copy of that was always sent with the application to the doctor with an explanation of what that was. So what I've been doing now is I've been explaining to the doctor in a letter how long I've known his patient for. Sometimes I've known the patient for a year or 2 years or even 6 months, and I'm really aware from talking to this person how their disability or their medical condition is affecting them. And if I include the conversations that I've had with their patient, and that new information is brought to their attention, and I found that they're using it in interview forms themselves. And that's really just a shortcut for them as well, because they don't have the time to do the same length of interviews. Even though we really don't have the time either, we're taking that time now to do that, to glean that information, because that's how we believe then that the application will be sufficiently filled out for the ministry.
Yeah.
And I don't know how your clinic, Midman, feels about us doing it that way.
I think that would be very welcome. Yeah, I think lots of... lots of docs I know would welcome that. Yeah.
So, just out of curiosity, from your own opinion, when you're filling out the physician's part or the assessor's part, how in depth do you go as a doctor to show their disability now or in the future? Like, what do you base it on what you see the client as being disabled now, or do you see them as being disabled over the length of time that they're going to be truly disabled in 3 years from now?
No, I describe it as something in the present, because I think that that's what they're looking at. But I usually try and sort of talk about how it's my judgment that this condition is severe, permanent, and chronically recurring, and such that this person is, you know, unable to function on a daily basis. Something like that. I use that kind of sort of prognostic, looking into the future language, but I base it on where they're at now. I don't say in 3 years' time they're really going to be disabled. I say they're disabled now.
Well, because knowing that the new applications are looking for more assistance as opposed to the money value of the disability, and if people are only using canes, but surely in a year and a half from now, if their arthritis gets worse, it might require a wheelchair. Is there a possible way that doctors could fill out the application so it looks
that? Well, you could talk about how a condition is progressive and that over, you know, over time it is likely to cause further dysfunction, for sure. Yeah.
Well, if there are no other questions, Margaret, thank you for coming. And